Gonna move some stuff here and invite our guests back up. If one of you can grab that mic there. Give the other two these two. Look at, they're even on. Yeah, have a seat on a it's among the other fight number with his bench. Good. Well, you see on the screen, our partners, our ministry partners, are not something different than who we're called to be and what we're called to do as a church. This is our mission statement in the middle. We are followers of Jesus seeking to glorify God. Hopefully you know that statement if you're attending here for very long. We intend to grow as followers of Jesus, growing in Him and inviting others to follow Him. And we seek to glorify God in all that we do, all that we are, with all that we have. That's in the center. And then we have a ministry framework around it, experiencing God on the top, called to engage in biblical community, not just arm's length relationship, but what's it mean to be really the people of God, the church, and to equip for kingdom service. And our partner ministries, every one of them, we could call of our internal ministries up here too, our internal ministry leaders, and have this similar dialogue. But they help us do what we're called to do, and we help them do what they're called to do, and together, God is glorified and His kingdom is built. So we want to walk through that ministry framework, the outside of it, experiencing God. I mean, we know it. We're called to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and to abide in Him as He abides in us, right? Worship the Lord. First commandment, worship Him alone, only. And love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. We're called to experience God. Awesome. Thanks for serving. And thanks. You might need it. And so we're called to experience God, and these guys will all tell you in different ways, but we're called to have a relationship with the living God, not just know stuff about Him. But I know we can't lead people somewhere where we're not going. So, I mean, my first question for you guys, if you can tell us, what's one of the things in your personal, whether you call it devotion time, abide time, what's one of the things that keep you experiencing God, not just knowing about it? I'll let anybody dive in there for that one.
I think for me, one of my favorite things or one of my regular things to do is I walk the property at camp. We have a beautiful property, and that's where I have a lot of my devotional times. That's where I practice speeches. That's where I work through problems, work things through. So just really appreciate that, the beauty of God's creation, which helps me connect with Him.
Awesome. Love that dialogue with God and in His creation, right? That's great.
I was going to say something very similar.
Yeah.
I did the First Nest Outdoor Leadership Training School at Prison State Bible Camp in 2002. And the final exam of that is a solo overnight hiking trip. And when I went on my solo, I knew, I mean, it's right there in the name, you're going to be alone. God, and I really didn't want to do that, so I surreptitiously packed my Walkman in my backpack, and I didn't call the instructors or anything. When I got out there, I just listened to the radio in my headphones, and I think part of what I've learned to do over the last 15 plus years is just how to be alone with God, how to spend time by myself in silence, interacting with God. Which is really difficult for me because I'm an extrovert and I want to be with people and I want to be constantly communicating.
Awesome. Thanks for that authenticity, too. We don't always get it right, but we're on journey. That's great.
I think one of the things that that was encouraged me for me to do years ago, one thing we try and build into our staff is that, you know, you may not feel good to read your Bible. You may not feel like you're getting something out of it. But that doesn't that shouldn't cause you not to do it. And you have to build these disciplines in your life where you get up and you set an alarm and you just read the Bible. And it's just that discipline building in life. The scripture is alive and alive. It's words from our Heavenly Father to us. And it gives life. And so it's just, yeah, every day it may not make every, it may not be something that may affect our life right now, but if you build that discipline in your life and you just read it, that's something that's very important, which is something I've built into my life.
Excellent. Yeah.
Again, for our staff, if I...
Yeah,
so
good. Flow right into
staff,
that.
When we talk about experiencing God in the summer,
mm-hmm.
that's one thing we strive to do with our staff, is just build that discipline in our life, you know. Again, it may not feel always like you want to worship the Lord. It may not feel like you want to read your Bible. But we got to be prepared. We got to just build that discipline in our lives.
Awesome. Those who seek me, find me. And we're not called to be, let our feelings be our slaves. We're slaves to Christ alone. And we were talking about it this morning in baptism and membership class about the disciplines of the Christian life, of really following, pursuing Jesus is a discipline. And yes, sometimes it's a delight as well. But don't put all your eggs in there. It's got to meet me exactly where I'm at right now. It's that process that builds over time. Yeah, great way to describe it. Not, you know, wasn't calling you here to, hey, are these guys going to measure up? We want to partner with them, right? But it's, we're all on journey. And again, if we're not leading in a direction, going on an actual journey, I'll have a hard time taking anyone else there. Yeah, just continue to expand it. How camp, whatever camp you're representing, helps people do this. Experience God, not just know about Him. Keep expanding on that, whether it's staff or campers. Dive into that one.
So the vision of Southern Alberta Bible Camp is to see lives transformed by God through the gospel. The vision of SABC is not to become the best archery person that you could possibly become. So I think that camping, and I believe the same for all of us, the whole experience of camping is an experience with God. That's why we exist. And so when children come to, and young people come to a camp, they come to a different kind of a community where our staff love the Lord, and we strive to treat each other differently. We strive to follow, lead by example. Our premier event of the week or of the day is our chapel times, where we're able to talk about God in an open and creative way. And then from that, we get to talk with these campers on an individual basis to kind of journey with them, just talk about what they learned in chapel, like what did you hear, what does that mean. And so the whole experience of camp is an experience with God.
Yeah, excellent.
I would echo that. The other thing that's unique probably about all three camps, at least for Camp Evergreen, is we have very poor cell service, and we have very poor internet. So for
Amen.
Those of us who live at camp, it's a little frustrating sometimes, but our guests and our campers need to unplug when they come to camp. And again, just as I'm wandering around camp, experiencing God's creation, forcing our campers and guests to unplug, that allows them to experience God's creation as well.
That's always the first question. What's the Wi-Fi password? Like, it doesn't matter what the Wi-Fi password is, because none of it works. But I think getting outside and having the normal social hierarchies, the normal things that set you apart in the world, that make you cool and desirable, those are dramatically undermined at camp, where we're just like everybody else, but we're dirtier and smellier, and we've got more mosquito bites. And when you get out and you stand at the lakeshore or on a mountain without your cell phone, it's inevitable that
or
you
a hill
or a hill. There's nothing wrong with the hill. You can clearly see his divine power and his eternal nature. And it's confrontational in a way that we don't have to be. We can just be like, look, here it is.
Yeah, that's awesome. Hey, we do need to, those times aside, that we often think of camp as for children. But I think as adults, we need a lot more of this into our lives. You know, each of you have started to mention staff, too. What an incredible training ground for life disciplines, not just for camp disciplines, but for life and ministry and kingdom and everything else. We'll move on to the next one here, but we're called to engage in biblical community, have authentic relationships. Where do we share what's really going on and address those things? And we haven't achieved any of these at CNBC, but we're on journey towards these, practicing the one another's of Scripture and learning to weep with those who weep and rejoice with those who rejoice, being vulnerable and accountable and all of that. Is there some specific things that you guys have found that promote character growth in your ministries? This one-on-one relationship, sharpen iron, sharpening shadow. Sharpening iron.
So we do a lot of really intentional things. We have a mentorship program, so you're partnered with somebody who's there for the full summer who can help you talk about that. We have discipleship groups where we intentionally blend the people that are working in maintenance and the people that are working in the kitchen with the frontline staff so that all of them can share what they're working on. And we build those spiritual disciplines into our practice on a daily basis, doing starting the day with prayer and building to our evening campfires, all of which are kind of an example of what your life should look like everywhere. So if you can live the camp lifestyle, if you can remember to get out of bed before the day starts to do your devotions, we will help you set the alarm while you're at camp. And if you can replicate that same kind of lifestyle at home, then it is known through generations of Christian experience that you will flourish and you will thrive and you will grow. And that this is not a new observation or a difficult factual task to undertake, but in terms of the practical implications, it's very difficult.
Good.
We have a unique situation in winter where we have a good number of seasonal staff and guests mostly on the weekends, so that frees us up during the week. And we intentionally, for the last 3 or 4 years, we've worked through the Alpha program with our staff. We can't assume that our staff are at the same place spiritually anymore. In the good old days, everybody would come and kind of be on the same plane. That's not anymore. And new for this year, I mentioned Paul earlier in my presentation. Paul, our conference minister, we've asked him to come along with a gentleman named Lawrence Hebert. Some of you may know that name. And they've worked through our confession of faith. They've taken probably 4 or 5 days to work through our confession of faith with our seasonal staff. And we found that to be a very helpful thing. Again, just trying to get us all on the same place biblically.
That Alpha idea is a good idea.
It is.
I might steal it. You know, for us, we tell our staff, camp is for the camper. Everything that you do, the decisions that you make, it better involve the camper. It's not about you, it's about the camper. But for me and for our board and for our leadership team, camp is not just about the camper. Camp is about our staff member as well. And so when we design our summer programs and we hire summer staff, we hire them specifically for the purpose of being ministers to our staff. And so not only is it you do the dishes and do this right, but it's like, hey, how are you doing? And can I pray for you? And what's God teaching you in your life? And so it's a real hierarchy or it's very strategic in how we hire people and what their jobs are at camp. We've actually gone to the point where we used to send all our staff to chapels. Now we actually have staff chapels at the same time that we have our, or summer camp chapels going on. So it's not supposed to think of health of it. Some good information in those kind of situations. But again, these young people come. We don't know where they're at with their in their walk with the Lord, but we'll take young people willing to serve and who are willing to learn. And again, it's a neat atmosphere with no cell phones, video games, those kind of things, where you can actually teach and grow in that way. So.
Excellent. Yeah, it's not about you being unique, right? Like you say, these are old disciplines. This is an opportunity to practice them, grow in those so they become a habit and they impact all of life, every area of life, not just, oh, here's my spiritual realm and then here's my unspiritual, but every area of life, that transformed character. And being honest, I mean, it's been modeled here this morning that we haven't arrived somewhere just because we're ministry leaders. We're on journey learning and growing as well. It's our character development that needs it as much as anything. Camp is also an incredible place to equip for kingdom service. And we want to become more and more about that. Not just putting people in positions and hoping for the best, but really equipping people to thrive there personally. How are they growing personally? And equip them for those roles. So can you describe some of the specific training that you do and what some of the results have been? Your ministries are so much more specific than from cradle to the end of life and whatever else, that we want to learn some of that, of your training, and how that's impacted individuals or whatever else without breaking confidence, or obviously, but what's some of that training that goes on and equipping?
I think we're all similar in the sense we'll have a discipleship or leadership training programs. Most camps call them different names, but it's in a sense it's all the same. And so we have a 2-week program and a 4-week program. That's sort of the intentional focus programs. But I would say almost more happens in the unintentional, just the one-on-one working with each other. Camp is an incredible, intense environment. And I was trying to think of how could I describe it. And I was thinking about a farming community, and when you have the perfect season and the perfect soil and it rains every night and it's hot during the day all the time, you get really good crop. And that's sort of like camp. It's just this intense environment with lots of things needed to grow the kids. And so, yeah, it's just fun to be part of that and to see God reaching in through us as individuals and through us as a group. Working in the staff lines.
Mm-hmm. So we have, I really liked what you said about equipping for kingdom work. And so starting from the place where we recognize that we are not the church, and our job as a Bible camp is to minister to the church by, which means doing things like this, connecting so that we know what you're working on at the front end and so that we can send people back better equipped to do whatever their job or whatever their role here is. With that said, we have a bunch of formal discipleship programs. We have our Crow's Nest Outdoor Leadership Training School, where we're training young people 19 to 23 how to lead groups into the backcountry. And that's a credential program, so they come out with a credential from the Outdoor Council of Canada, actually several credentials. We also have that program for 16-year-olds, the Personnel and Training Program. We have a worship leader training school that we're piloting. And we also have a program for business decision making that we're piloting. I think one of the things that happens when you finish up at camp is that you think everybody, the proper expression of being a Christian is the granola eating, mech clothes wearing, sleeping in the back of your car, climbing mountains during the day kind of way of living. But the truth is that that's not the way that most of us express our Christian life, and so I want to build a program that can replicate what does it look like to be a Christian as an accountant? What does it look like to be a Christian in a professional role where I'm changing my clothes every day and washing my hair every day? So we have a program that's designed to help with how do we do business decision making as Christians, and that's led by a guy who you've got a Venn diagram up there the overlap between the Crow's Nest Outdoor Leadership Training School and the Harvard Business School is literally one person, and we got that guy running our business discipleship program. So,
John, you want to add some?
We got him. Okay.
Good job, Dave. That resonates with me a little bit. You know, I look at Zacchaeus, you know, like he was a life change, right? And what was he? He was a tax collector. So before he met Christ, he was a tax collector that didn't know Christ. After he met Christ, what do you guys think he did? The Bible doesn't say. I like to think of him as a tax collector, a Christian tax collector, and how that would change his and influence his world around him for the good. And so I believe that the same way. We want policemen that are Christians. We want teachers that are Christians. We want, of course, we want pastors and missionaries that are Christians. But, you know, how could that influence our world around us? You know, I learn by doing.
Yeah.
That's how I learn.
A lot of people do.
I sit in class, and I listen to all this theory, and I just, like, I just don't learn that way. I'm walking through that with some of my kids right now, too. But I learn by doing. And what camp does is it provides a place for young people and young adults to come and do something. And so I think some of you write up with us, you said, without just throwing people in something somewhere and just learning on the job. I think sometimes that's how we learn the best. And camp provides the ability to be able to do that. I think about this one girl last year in our kitchen. We hired her as a kitchen person. Asked her to clean, one of the first days, asked her to clean the table. Wipe the table. So she took a dry rag and she started wiping the table with a dry rag. And so we had to gently tell her, you've actually got to wet the rag. You've got to wring it out, and you've got to actually scrub hard to wipe the table. That's just a little practical thing that young people, I thought everybody knew how to do that, but they didn't know how to do it. They just learn these things. But again, you go to a professional restaurant, you're expected to know those kind of things. At camp, sometimes we're able to work with these young people, and we're able to gently help them grow up. I think of a person that I actually had to. I sat down. It was a time when I was going to actually fire him. I said I was going to sit down and explain to him the reasons why he had to leave. And I sat down with him. We talked about the items that were a problem that we couldn't have this continuing, and as soon as his eyes got wider and wider and wider, as I got closer and closer and closer to the inevitable end of saying, you're fired. And at that moment, he said, whoa. And at that moment, he said, John, I want to fix this. I don't want to get fired. I want to understand what it means, what I've got to do to be able to change, to be able to be do the expectations to the level that you need me to. And at that moment, I was able to show him some grace and to be an example to him of a leader that maybe would believe in him and to help him grow in that. And you know what? Like, he did incredible after that. He was one of our best staff members after that. There were a few things. But we're able to help them to see, to be able to grow in their jobs, per se, but also to see Christian leaders actually lead them well as well. Again, I look at it in my own life. When I went to camp and I was thrown into a situation where we don't have a base place. So this is when I was young. So turn back time a little bit for me, single, no kids, no beard, right? John, we need you to, we don't have a bass player. Can you know three chords or three notes? Can you play bass? And I had to get up and I played my three notes and bass, but I was able to learn how to do that in that camping context. Now, was that excellent? Would that be expected up here? A guy who plays three notes? Probably not. But at camp, we're able to do that. And still, I believe with excellence we can do it. Mm-hmm. I had to. Am I able to still talk?
One more comment.
I had to get up in front of, also at that time in my life, I was a shy kid, didn't like to be in front of people, and I had to teach a verse that I had to get up, and we had to do actions, and there were 100 kids sitting there, and I had to get up there, the shy little kid, and teach this verse to kids that told them that God loves them, and anyways, Psalm 139, verses 13 and 14. And those were things that I had to be forced to do that. Now, where else could I do that? Could I learn to public speak like that to be able to get, to be able to pull in some of the leadership stuff that was potentially inside of me? And it was the leadership of the camp at that time that believed in me and got me up there actually doing it. And anyways, and I was able to grow in those situations. So I just see camp over and over and over again with young people, forcing them to be put into different situations. And then one more. Actually, when do you share your faith with people? Like, when do I share my faith with people other than at camp? Like, it's really hard to do. But at camp, we teach kids how to talk about Jesus. And then they're actually forced, or they're required, or they're expected to talk about Jesus and talk about what he did over and over and over every week. And so, I mean, that's a great learning ground and a great opportunity for them to hone some of those skills.
That's great. Appreciate each of you and your perspectives. Again, it's not competitive, it's collaborative, right? You aren't the church. Though we call it Coaldale MB Church, we are not the sum total of the church. He is the Lord, and he's doing all sorts of things, and we need each other. There's certain things that can go on in our Boys and Girls Club ministry here or in Sunday school because they happen weekly. And there's certain things that can go on in this intensive environment, and both are needed and necessary in our becoming and being the church that God is calling us to do. I want to close with prayer. I'm hoping you recognize none of these conversations are done. There's a lot more to be said and a lot more to be experienced, and how can we be involved in these camps? Do you want one short comment of how we can be involved, a part of what God is doing on your location? Yeah, summarizing prayer. One prayer.
You could pray for us on a daily basis. We would appreciate that so much.
When I was living in Singapore and I was considering taking this job, I said to my friends, should I do this? Because I was in a very different kind of career. And I said to them, before you say yes, because I'm the one who has to actually go do it, I need to know that you're going to support me spiritually. You're going to pray for me. I need to know that you're going to support me financially because, Crow is a fee-free camp that we don't charge anything to come to camp. I need to know that you're going to support me socially, that you're going to come and see me, because the Crow's Nest Pass is a lot smaller and more isolated than Singapore is. And I need to know that you're going to support me strategically and tactically. What am I going to do once? Because it feels like I'm on a career path right now, and now all of a sudden I'm going to be out of that career path altogether. What am I going to do next? Yeah. And I've learned that camp needs exactly those same things. We need people that are going to support us spiritually, pray for us, and test our teaching, that are going to support us financially, because there's no other stream of revenue for Crow's Nest Lake Bible Camp other than people that faithfully give when God asks them to. We need people that are going to support us strategically to say, what comes next 3 to 5 years from now? What challenges are we going to face, and how can we get ahead of them? And we need people to support us socially, to encourage us to come and see us and say, you're doing a great job, or I'd like to volunteer for a week. So spiritually, socially, tactically, and financially, that's what we need.
Sweet.
So that's four things.
Yeah.
Yeah, we could have the best staff in the world.
Yeah.
We could have the best programs in the world, the best whatevers in the world. But if God's hand isn't upon the camp, and if he hasn't chosen to work at camp, then all of that's for nothing. So I would say we need people to pray that God would have his hand.
Good, let's pray. We'll close in song. Holy Spirit, all of this is your church. All of it is your doing. Apart from you, we can do nothing. nothing of real value, and certainly nothing of eternal value. And we bow before you and humbly recognize we all need you. We can entertain in and of ourselves, but we can't transform a heart and a mind. That takes your Spirit. We want to be faithful planters and waterers, and we want you to bring the growth, God. And we want to walk by faith. We want to do the things you call us to do. And so I pray you would help us be attentive to your voice, and we would be responsive, praying, giving, volunteering, all sorts of things. That again, your kingdom would come, your will would be done on earth as it is in heaven, at these camps as it is in heaven. We pray it in your name. Amen. All right, if you need those on, the team needs them.